Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February the 20th, 51st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace. Hey, guy.
How are you doing?
Nice to see you without empty plates in your hands. I was leaving the beer, empty beer bottle reference for you to throw back at me. So apparently you're taking the high road here.
Does anyone out there get the reference at all if they weren't at the same dinner?
No, I just... Yeah. It may be referenced later on in the program or in subsequent programs. Yeah. We don't want to give everything away.
Yeah.
At least I don't. Neither do you. All right.
We'll just say that, you know, we both had experiences as busboys.
There you go. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Prosperity 2012. No, this isn't an old show. We do realize it's 2013, but we'll talk a little bit about what Prosperity 2012 has helped to generate for Humboldt County when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from... Oh, you like that one, huh? Except I don't know who W.H. Auden is.
Neither do I.
You want to make it put somebody else in there as a substitute?
How about you just read the quote and let it stand on its own?
Well, it doesn't make any sense out of context. A wedding cake left out in the rain.
Well, that's not the one I pointed at.
You pointed to that one, not the one above it. You want the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Alexander Dumas. There you go.
Yeah.
I prefer rogues to imbeciles because they sometimes take a rest. The other one was referencing that somebody's face.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, but if we don't know who the somebody is.
Yeah, but that's not the other one I pointed out, was it?
Yeah, you went like that. Boom, boom.
He's
going to realign himself and try to cover...
Two quotes today. The one I was pointing out was, by dint of railing at idiots, you run the risk of becoming idiotic yourself.
you're implying that one of us just qualified for that one, huh?
Or both.
Yeah, fair enough. Particularly with the cake reference. Yeah. Oh, boy. So what is Prosperity? Not 2012, but what is Prosperity?
Well, the idea behind the Prosperity project, this is the county's economic development strategy, which we have to re-up after, you know, a period of years to make sure that it stays current. And the county had originally developed its economic development strategy back in... late 90s, early 2000, I can't recall the year
now. It's about when those clusters started forming.
Yeah, it's where we started recognizing that there are certain businesses that do well here and are better poised for growth than others, and that would be where we should focus our efforts. Prosperity, the term itself, is the state of having everything one needs to consider themselves fortunate or successful. And so... separating that out in terms of looking at what makes this a rich community, what makes this a community that where businesses can succeed and where people can succeed, and using that as the basis for our economic development strategy.
Was there anything, Mark, in the last, whether it's 10 years, 15 years, year and a half, that indicates the state of local businesses?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the anecdotal, and everybody's got whatever their sense is about wherever they are. But across the board, I would really be curious what percentage of businesses perceive themselves as being successful or profitable or poised for the next level. What are businesses' business? Which ones are barely hanging on, and which ones are actively employing exit strategies in the next year and a half?
Well, there's one of the things that you mentioned there was the perception, and that's always a hard piece to get at, because even if a business is succeeding, businesses rarely get to a point where they just coast on their laurels and say everything's fine and dandy and it's not hard work to continue to run that business. So even if we can look at data, and there was a lot of data that came forward as a part of this project, and looking at what are called the targets of opportunity, those business sectors that are best, you know, have been best poised for growth and continue to be best poised for future growth. Even if we can see that the strategy is working and that we're doing very well relative to other rural areas in California, that doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean that businesses aren't having a hard time making things work here locally. One bit of information I saw recently that wasn't just local but was a national study that was really interesting was finding that complaints about over-regulation and the difficulty that the regulatory environment plays in business growth were highest in places where businesses were doing best, and which was a strange kind of counterintuitive thing.
You could certainly argue if they were in a setting where they were trying to expand and running into challenges versus those that were contained and weren't in an expansion mode at that time.
It's not saying that regulation isn't a problem or anything like that. It just points out that maybe what we need to do, and this is kind of gets to the prosperity strategy, is look at those businesses that are doing well, those industries that are doing well and have the best opportunity for growth. And if they're the ones that are being constrained and they're having difficulty, maybe that's the best place for us to focus our efforts.
Because this thing has been around now in a couple of different forms,
mm-hmm.
is there enough information to start doing historical tracking? I'm wondering if the key businesses in some of the niches that existed even in the late 1990s, if they're still around. And if so, have their opinions changed of what their niche was or what it has evolved into?
Well, I think that would be really interesting information to get. That would be, to some degree, getting to the anecdotal and getting what is the business's own experience of, you know, do they think things are better now than they were in the past? But when we look at the actual data of that, you know, that helps inform us too.
We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, before the break, an extraordinarily well-timed opportunity for me to ask a question with like 10 seconds to go. We talked about a little of the historical tracking of the document, some of the indexes or niches that were identified 15 years ago, are they still viable or not? And are the major players within those niches still even around or viable? And then the clock got you.
Well, one of the things that is important in terms of looking back is a tendency to perhaps over-glorify the good old days. And when we look at unemployment, we know that our unemployment is not where we want it to be right now. But we also know that given that we're struggling against the backdrop of, you know, state unemployment, against a nation that's still struggling out of a recession, and that we are consistently better than the state. Our unemployment is below the state average on a regular basis.
Yeah, historically. And,
yeah. Also better than virtually all of our other rural counties in California. But when we look backwards, we find that there's, you know, if you go back to early 80s and back to the, you know, into the early 90s, there were times back then where unemployment was over 14%. And
sure, with the mills and the woods representing and the fishing mm-hmm. representing higher percentages, and then you're out of season.
Yeah.
And nobody's cutting in the woods in January. Well, just January. Okay, fine. But typically, you know, the weather doesn't permit that. So I can remember growing up always hearing, you know, it was like 14, 15, 16%, and then the mm-hmm. fishing industry was able mm-hmm. to hire. Boom, and then it would drop down to 10 or 11, and then the storms would come in before the woods opened up. And it was always back up 15, 16, 17. I remember Delaware mm-hmm. County being close to 20%. But then once the mills started running and the trees were being cut, yeah. it would drop back down to the 8s and 7s and in that neighborhood, yeah. and things were happening.
So we had more spikes in our unemployment back then. Some of those happened routinely every year. As you said, you know, the mills would close down around, unfortunately, right before Christmas, it seemed, every year.
Yeah, the scrubbing out on the pulp mills, too.
Yeah.
That was always
and so there'd be
weeks, yeah.
there'd be spikes, you know, at a really inopportune time of the year for a lot of folks, but that was the nature of the industry. Then there were also times where, you know, that unemployment persisted higher. So even though we're still struggling again, you know, following the worst recession since the Great Depression, we're still doing better than we did a lot of times in the past, in the more recent past of the 80s and 90s. So we need to keep that in mind. But we're also seeing
a
smoothing.
We didn't have the empty storefronts that we do now. I mean, you know, where you work, within 3 blocks, I bet you we mm-hmm. can find
a lot
15
of
empty storefronts.
Yeah.
That didn't happen before.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of things that we can look at there. Did we, you know, overbuild on retail? Do we have, you know, the mall didn't exist back then. And so there's been a lot of shifts that'd be, you know, that would take some work just to look at that one factor alone in terms of, you know, 'cause there's a lot of different things that impact it. But in an overall sense, what we've seen has been a smoothing of that unemployment pattern and the impact of, due to shifts in the employment base of the timber industry, where it's less labor dependent, which is not a good thing, but that's the nature of the beast. That it's
well, certainly is a niche. It's
more,
a lot less.
It's more highly,
not as many mills.
Yeah, it's more highly automated. Yeah, you know, the same volume
plus
of
technology.
Yeah, the same volume of timber creates a lot fewer jobs today. But those jobs are evened out more over the course of the year, so we don't have those dips and spikes through the course of the year.
Now, I would imagine the employment numbers for each sector is something that was referenced and tracked during the period. I unfortunately don't know if you have that information with you or not. I would be interested to see, since we're talking timber, and that's mm-hmm. probably the most blatant one that's in front of mm-hmm. us, timber or timber-related products, if throwing the pulp mill, what the employment base was, even when this thing started 15 years ago, versus where it is today.
Well, the reports on the targets of opportunity focuses, of course, primarily on those six target industries. And what the report finds with those is that even while unemployment rose, or well, let me reverse that. Even while jobs fell 6.1% across the region as a whole, within those industries, jobs grew 33%, I believe. I'm trying to recall the exact figure. I don't have it in front of me. So for those industries. So
there's a third more people employed within the six identified niches, but overall in the county,
so against the
number of jobs are less.
Yeah, so what it showed is that even while we were struggling through some poor economic times, we had certain industries that grew and prospered during that time. And so they would be good places to focus our efforts.
Well, do you have the raw numbers of the jobs? I mean, a third increase, if I've got three people, is one. Versus if I've got 10,000 people and it becomes 13,000, I mean, that's obviously going to be a big splash.
Yeah, I didn't bring the thicker document with me today. So
good. But, yeah, well, that's all right. I mean,
but when you talk about the timber industry, the timber industry has obviously been beset by a lot of changes, including increased automation and reductions in harvest.
And demand, too.
Yeah, a lot.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year, reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1, eliminating our combination classes, and the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course and extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're still here, talking shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. It's amazing how much stuff we get done during the commercial breaks.
Yeah, we talked about it all then.
We saved the world three times, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fixed everything. So,
Mark, when you look at the economic development, and let's step back even. It's the county's role, we could argue, should be information. Could be streamlining, it could be monitoring, it could be investigating, it could be, I mean, there's a wide continuum of what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see what the outcome of it is at this point for the individuals associated with it, for the dollars, the resources that have been put into it, has this effort in the last 15 years, would you do it again?
I think the strategy, what we're seeing is that the data really supports the strategy the county has had over the last 15 years has been successful. We've focused our efforts into places where they have the greatest likelihood of paying off. There's a lot of things that we can do with our efforts, a lot of places we can put our time and put our money. If we choose, we can put those into things that may never manifest themselves. You know, we could determine that building a spaceport in Humboldt County would be a great thing and that we shouldn't, you know, put all of our eggs in that basket and build this thing and trust that, you know, some private firm will want to launch, you know, rockets out of, you know, the Humboldt Bay area. But probably wouldn't be, you know, it's something we could do, but the data probably would suggest that it's probably not a smart place to focus our efforts. Figuring out what businesses, again, what businesses actually are best poised to work here, because we've got an isolated location. No amount of connectivity is going to help some businesses prosper here. There are businesses that just aren't a good fit, and we shouldn't work on trying to keep a business here if it's not a good fit in the first place. We should try to figure out which are the ones that best fit this area and can best succeed and prosper here.
Is it somebody's responsibility not to encourage a business to locate here, or almost to be the anti, rather than assisting those who are here to become better?
Well, both. We focus our efforts primarily on entrepreneurship and helping businesses start up and grow here in Humboldt County, because we know that Humboldt County is not for everybody. You know, even if your business fits here, there are a lot of people that just don't like the area. They don't like the limited access to, you know, restaurants and shopping or whatever else.
Well, be safe and just say weather.
Yeah, yeah. There's just so
you
we
start
know,
talking restaurants, you know, you're going to get some phone calls.
Yeah, you know, talk to anyone that does employee recruitment in the area, and they'll tell you how difficult it is. You know, even if you offer someone the right pay for the right job, just finding out whether or not this place is a good fit for them is difficult. And so when you have a business that requires that you move a lot of people up here, or enough people to support, you know, an employee base from this area. You know, it's a difficult fit. It's a difficult proposition to talk about moving businesses up here, but helping businesses that grow here to succeed is something that's been a very successful avenue. In fact, one of the things
I'll stay away from the double entendre. When we're talking, but it does enter into, and I'll kind of come in through the side door on this one. You got the prosperity and the research and everybody kind of feeling comfortable or folks feeling comfortable with that. And yet I can remember 15 years ago when this thing started, the number one moan and groan from employers was getting a drug-free, qualified workforce. Has that changed? Has prosperity addressed the employee group or potential employee group that's out there to get them drug-free, to get them educated to a certain spot so that they do become potential employees for these businesses that are growing, these that are locating here, those that do want to come?
Well, I haven't seen data zeroing in on the drug-free piece alone, but there has been a huge issue of employers saying that they can't find well-qualified workers who are ready to work. And so we've had that strange mix of people saying, I can't find a job, and employers saying, I can't find employees. And so that's why we've got, based again on the work that has gone into prosperity, leading to the targets of opportunity, leading to the occupations of opportunity work, leading to the Decade of Difference program, including tying in with CR, revamping some of their offerings to make sure that they're training students on for jobs that they can find in the area. We've done a lot of follow through on exactly those topics to make sure that people can get the education here for the jobs that are here. And that's one of the things that's been working. And I can tell you, a few years ago, I had opportunity to be in Sacramento for a presentation from our economic development folks to the California Workforce Investment Board. And the director of the CalWIB, after the presentation, I remember her pointing at the screen and basically and saying, this is exactly the kind of work we all should be doing. So the work we're doing up here is exemplary in terms of using data to figure out how to focus our efforts on providing good jobs in the area.
Does that program still exist?
Which?
The Welfare Investment?
Workforce Investment.
Workforce Investment Program. I can't read my own writing.
Yeah. I think you
really nailed something. How rare that it is that we've got employers seeking, employees seeking, but
and they're not.
And kids coming out of the school train that aren't able to find jobs. How tough is it for this, the prosperity, to really be able to operate in a vacuum? Because I would contend that a lot of the largesse from the state makes it very difficult. You know, do you want to bust your chops for an extra $5,000 a year? Standard of living. And that's one of the things, particularly in small rural communities like us, Modoc, Trinity, I mean, take your pick anywhere, that we have, is that because the employment base is needed, but the total population base is limited, you're never going to hit the cash flow numbers that some of your contemporaries elsewhere in the state do because there's more population there.
Well, there's things that will always work well for Humboldt County and things that won't. But one thing that we've seen looking at the data is that Humboldt County has very, very high entrepreneurship. The number of businesses that start up here in Humboldt County is off the charts for an area of this size. And it far exceeds what we see with our neighboring counties. Even if you go to Mendocino.
A lot of onesies, twosies, small band.
Well, that's where they start and then they grow. Yeah. You know, Fire and Light was a onesie-twosie. Cypress Grove Chev was a onesie-twosie. Yakima was a onesie-twosie. Coquitat, you know, these small businesses grow into big businesses. And if we say that your business isn't important until you hit, you know, 50 or 100 employees, we're never going to get there. We've got to invest in these small businesses and help them to be successful. And so when we look at that entrepreneurship, we can see that, you know, we're well above what other counties are doing. And one of the things that starts to appear in the data is the suggestion that it's a place where our isolation actually works for us, because if there's a need here, there's less ability to fill that need by just, you know, driving an hour or, you know, getting something, you know, bringing something over from the next county. Mendocino, you know, there's Ukiah, you know, that is, you know, obviously a center of commerce down there. And then they're right close to Santa Rosa for, you know, other kinds of expertise and business. And as you get over into, you know, Weaverville, of course, you're closer to Redding. And up in Del Norte, of course, they're very close to the Oregon border, and everything's, you know, cheaper up there because of the lack of sales tax. And so we're in a strange way, we're in a place where our isolation supports entrepreneurship and creates opportunity. If there's a need, fill it. And there's a
supports or maybe requires entrepreneurship.
Could be, you know, could
or
be
at
both.
Least creative thinking,
yeah,
in some
yeah.
of the areas.
If you look at it, you know, if you the old thing of, you know, if there to create a business, find a need and fill it. Well, if we've got needs here, those are opportunities. Look at those needs as opportunities, and you know, that's where a lot of our businesses emerge from.
And somebody who'll pay for it on time.
Yeah. Oh, that's always good. Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace about prosperity and some of the different elements to that. Mark, one of the things I would think that is challenging is just documenting this stuff. What are some of the trends that you see that have been documented that kind of get your attention?
Well, one thing that really got my attention in this report was seeing some of the age demographics that came forward, because we've heard repeatedly the idea that our children are leaving the area. And there's a chart within the report that shows that actually the 20 to 29 age group is our single largest demographic in Humboldt County. And so I went and did a little looking and found how that's changed over the years. And if we go back to 1990, we find that our 20 through 29 age group has actually grown significantly since then, even while it's declined significantly as a portion of the statewide population. And so that suggests that, you know, this argument, there's this story that we tell ourselves that our children are all leaving the area because they can't find jobs here, doesn't hold true. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things that can work into that. You know, HSU has increased its enrollment some, and there's, you know, plenty of other trends that one can look at. But at least on its face, we know that we're not seeing this huge out-migration of our youth. They are, in fact, staying here, and that bodes well for future entrepreneurship.
Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.